of the 5 o'clock hour, Fun with Audio. And then was it Ben Bradley, I think his name is, from WGN-TV, is going to be here. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, Troy Murray is going to join us, Chicago Blackhawks color analyst. He has got many, many, many things to discuss with us as the Blackhawks are getting ready for the playoffs. Playoffs? Yes. Indeed, playoffs. NHL playoffs, which we anticipate are going to start around August 1st. And we believe that the Blackhawks are going to be playing August 1st, 3rd, and 5th, at least in the first three games of a five-game series against Edmonton in Edmonton. I don't like the idea of that. That doesn't seem fair to me. But we'll get his thoughts on it. He played the game. I didn't. I don't know. Dr. Allison Arwady is with us, Commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. And we were just talking about testing, Doctor, and specifically about the antibody tests. I want to stop on that for just a moment here. What is, as somebody whose job it is to be tracking the virus and the positivity rate and how many people have been infected, and you know, there's all this talk of herd immunity, which we're way, way, way ahead of here. We're way too early in this to really have that conversation. But do you think that the antibody test is accurate and worth getting?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. First, just to be clear, we do not count antibody tests in any of the numbers that we report in terms of our numbers that are diagnosed or in our percent positivity. As you know, it's really not meant to be a diagnostic test. It's really meant to just show that someone has previously had, has had exposure to COVID and has mounted at least some immune response. What I'll say is that I think, like all of the other areas of COVID testing, we continue to see improvements in terms of the quality of antibody testing. Early on, we were seeing just some really poor performers, and there had to be a crackdown in terms of, you know, pulling some of those bad performers off the market. I think at this point, if people are getting that antibody, that blood test, it's probably fairly accurate in terms of letting us know that you've had an exposure to COVID in the past. But what's important is that we don't yet know, based on the typical antibody test that people are getting, how long you may have immunity or what level of antibody you need to even have immunity. And we know that people who don't have a really a serious infection, if you don't mount a really big immune response, you never had a fever, et cetera, typically don't have antibody levels that are as high. They probably don't last as long. And so we can't really, for example, say that if you have a positive antibody test, we know that you could not down the line lose those antibodies and have the potential to be vulnerable to COVID again. So it's important that even if people have a positive antibody test, that they, you know, keep doing all the things that we know work in terms of wearing the mask and protecting people at high risk. So there's all different kinds of antibodies. There's a new testing that's being developed for something called a neutralizing antibody that will help us answer that in the future. But right now, it's something that's useful for helping us understand at a public health level what our infection rates have been like. But they're not the most important test, and I don't want people using the results of that test to think that they need to change their behavior in terms of protecting against COVID.
Okay. Your response to public officials who are saying, listen, if we do more testing, we're just going to have more cases.
I know this has been part of the conversation. It is absolutely critical that we do enough testing to catch infections. Yes, if you test, you will find more cases, but that's only if those cases are already out there. It's not like testing magically makes cases appear. This is where the percent positivity number that you hear being talked about becomes important. I know, you know, this was a conversation where we started seeing surges in other parts of the country, and people said, oh, it's just that you're testing more, and those people were there anyway. But that's not true, because the percent positivity was also going up. And that means that of all the people that you're testing, more and more, a higher and higher percentage of those people are positive. If it's all being driven by testing, you would actually see, if you were testing many, many more people, but there wasn't more COVID out there, the percent positivity would actually go down. And so it's not true to say that it's just that we're testing and finding more in settings where you're seeing the percent positivity going up, like we are in many of the states of greatest concern.
I have always wondered about this, that people who are going in to get the COVID test, most of them are going to be symptomatic. So when you have a positivity rate like we have in Illinois right now of 3%, I don't know what it is in Chicago, you can tell us that as well. Does that mean that people who feel sick, it's only 3%, or is that a number against general population?
Good question. So there's actually a couple different ways to measure percent positivity. Here in Chicago, we use the most conservative one, which basically just, it's not against the general population. It's against the number of individuals who are tested for COVID. So if we, like, just to give you an example, we're testing on average about 3,500 to 4,000 individuals a day, but we're doing almost 6,000 COVID tests a day here in Chicago. So either you can say, what is the number that are positive divided by the number of individuals that are tested or by the number of tests that are done. There are people who are getting repeated testing, for example, every week, say right. They work in a long-term care facility. And we here tend to use the more conservative one, which is just on the number of individuals that are tested. So using that, we've got around a 5% positivity here in Chicago, but if we just divide by the total number of tests that are done, we're also down around 3%. And so the bottom line is it's not against the population, it's just against the people being tested. And
some
in
of those
that
people
3-5% range
are asymptomatic. And some of those people
That's right. Some of those people are symptomatic. Some are asymptomatic. If you're testing all symptomatic people, you would have a higher percent positivity for sure.
How do you feel about the trajectory of where we are in Chicago and in Illinois, the Chicago metropolitan area, let's call it, because where are we on that?
Yeah. So broadly speaking, we had such fantastic progress here in Chicago. And where I look back to where we are compared to, early May or early June, we have made very good progress, and broadly we've maintained that progress. The concern is that we are seeing numbers start to just creep up a little bit here, and they're going up much more dramatically all around us, both sort of in some other parts of the state, in some of the states around us, and then certainly in some of the states further afield. And where we see that, Chicago's not in the bubble, and I do have concerns that we're likely to probably continue to see some increases in cases here. The real trick is, can we not see major increases or quick increases, and can we get any places where we are seeing some smaller increases back under control? We're broadly still in control here in Chicago, but it's more like looking ahead and seeing what's happening around us that makes me want to really double down on that messaging of everybody, COVID is not over, including here in Chicago, and everybody needs to, as much as possible, keep doing what we can to protect ourselves and our neighbors.
Are there breakpoints at which we'll close bars or we'll do other sorts of things like you're seeing in California and other states?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of things that we look at. One is the sheer burden of COVID cases. So the number of new COVID cases per day that we see here in Chicago on average over 7 days. And right now we're just under 200 cases a day that we're adding on average every day in Chicago. And coming under that 200 mark was a big deal for us because that's what moved us out of a high incidence or sort of a high risk state for COVID, using the way that's counted nationally, into a moderate high level. And we've gotten down to where we were in maybe the 160s or so per day, and it's been slowly creeping back up into the 180s. Again, not major increases, but I expect we'll be in the 190s and possibly over 200 again not too long from now. And if we start to get over 200, that's where we start to think about the need to be pulling things back. Some of it depends how quickly that's moving. But if we were to see us get up to numbers of 300 or especially 400, that would mark a real necessity to be thinking about taking major steps backwards. So it's both about the sheer burden and then how quickly those numbers change.
I've got 15 seconds here. The new study says that masks are good for the wearer as well as anybody else around the wearer. Do you believe that?
I do. I think you're protecting everybody else first and foremost, but you're also helping to protect yourself. They're one of the easiest, most important things that we can do. And I ask everybody, we want our numbers going down in Chicago and Illinois. It's one of the most important things that you can do. And I ask people to keep doing the things that we know work.
Allison Arwady from the Chicago Department of Public Health. Thank you very much for your time. I know you're very busy, so we appreciate it. Thank you.
We've got
news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in two.